Okay, we start again at two dots on Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara is trying to figure out what is the argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah. The very end of the Mishnah said that Rabbi Elazar says, it says V'sheretz, and right after V'sheretz it says V'ne'elam, and it'll be forgotten. That means he needs to forget about the Tumah, forget about the Sheretz, and then walk into the temple. But if he forgot that it is a temple, he knows he's impure, but he forgets it is a temple, he wouldn't have to bring the sliding scale sacrifice. Rabbi Akiva seemed to say the same thing from a different source. Rabbi Akiva says, it says, V'ne'elam imenu v'hutame. It'll be forgotten from him that he is impure, implying that what creates the obligation of the sliding scale sacrifice is forgetting that he's impure, not forgetting that it is a temple or forgetting that the item is consecrated. And then Rabbi Shmuel says, well, since it says V'ne'elam twice, one is to say he forgot that he was impure, the other is to say he forgot that it is the temple. So our Gemara is going to start by trying to figure out if Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva are really arguing with each other. Let's start again at the two dots. Rabbi Elazar says from the fact that it says Hasheretz and then V'ne'elam imenu, it means he forgets that it's a dead rodent, not that he forgot that it was the temple. Rabbi Akiva says it says V'ne'elam imenu v'hutame. He'll forget that he's impure. Again, on Yud Ches Amud Beis in Masechet Shavuos. So the Gemara asks, Mai Benayi, what's the difference between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva? Is there really an argument here? So the Gemara suggests the following, Chizkiah's suggestion. Chizkiah's suggestion is that they're arguing how much Yediyah is considered Yediyah. Remember, the Karban Olav Yorid is different than a normal Karban Chatas. In a normal Karban Chatas, you don't need to have Yediyah Lifneichen. You don't need to know before. When you know after the sin, that you committed a sin by mistake, you have to bring a Karban Chatas. But in the sliding scale Karban, the Karban Olav Yorid, you have to have Yediyah before, then He'elam, then forgetting, and then Yediyah La'achar, knowing after. What level of knowledge is considered knowing? That's according to Chizkiah's the argument. So Amar Chizkiah, Sheretz u'nevelei k'beinayu. The difference between them is, does the person need to know how he was tummy? Does he need to know that he was tummy from a dead Sheretz? Does he need to know he was tummy from a dead nevela? Or is it enough that he knows he was tummy, generally? Rebbe Lezer Savar, Rebbe Lezer says, holds, bein adi yada ibe Sheretz yitmi bin nevela itma. Rebbe Lezer's source is from the fact that it says Sheretz and then v'ne'elam. He became tummy with something particular, with a dead rodent, and then he forgot it. He has to know what it is that made him tummy. However, Rabbi Akiva Savar, lo b'inan adiyada. He doesn't need to know exactly what made him tummy. He forgot about the fact that he was tummy. Came with the other day, b'olam. Once he knows that he was tummy, lo tzarechi b'sheretz itmi b'nevela itmi. He doesn't need to know the particulars of how he's tummy. He just needs to know that he is tummy. And if he forgets that, that's already enough to be obligated in the Karban Olav Yorid. V'chein Amar Ula. Ula also suggested, like Chizkiah, that there is an argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. The argument is, what degree of knowledge is necessary in order to be obligated in the Karban Olav Yorid? Sheretz u'nevela ika beinayu. The difference between them is there a need of knowledge in the particulars of what's making a person tameh, a sheretz or a nevela? Ula Rami. Now, Ula actually had asked a contradiction. Rabbi Elazar, Ad Rabbi Elazar. A contradiction in the views of Rabbi Elazar and Umashani, and he gave an answer. What was the contradiction, Rabbi Elazar? Like this. Mi amar Rabbi Elazar be'inan adiyadi b'sheretz itmi b'nevei litma. Is it true that according to Rabbi Elazar, to be obligated in the Karban Olav Yored, his yediyah, his knowledge, has to be a particular knowledge. It's not enough to have a general knowledge that he's tamei. He needs to know, I'm tamei from a sheretz. I'm tamei from a nevela. Then he forgets that. Then he goes into the temple. Urimini, I'll challenge you. We learned in a braisa, in Masechta Krisus. Amar Rabbi Elazar, talking about a Karban Chatas, a regular Chatas, not a sliding scale Chatas. A regular sin offering. A regular sin offering is brought when a person, by mistake, does an act that, were he to do it on purpose, would get a punishment of kares. So let's say, violating Shabbos, violating Yom Kippur, eating on Yom Kippur, eating forbidden fats, chelev, eating nosar, eating meat of a carbon that's left over. So any of those things done on purpose would get a punishment of kares. If they're done by mistake, he has to bring a carbon chatas. It says Rebbe Elazar, it doesn't matter if he, coming to the Beis HaMikdash, doesn't remember what it is that he did. Manavshach, whatever you want to say. He may have chelev achal, maybe he ate forbidden fats. Still chayev chatas, obligated in a chatas then. No sarachal, if he ate meat of a carbon that was left over past its time, it's chayev chatas, he'd have to bring a chatas. Shabbos chilel, if he violated Shabbos, chayev, he has to bring a chatas. Yom Kippurim chilel, if he violated Yom Kippur, chayev, he has to bring a chatas. Ishto nida baal, if he had intercourse with his wife and she was a nida, chayev, he has to bring a chatas. Achosa baal, if he had intercourse with his sister, chayev, he'd have to bring a chatas. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua said, what do you mean? It's not enough just to know that he has to bring a chatas without remembering what the sin is. Hari Omer, it says, Ohodai love, or it'll be informed to him, or he becomes known, it becomes known to him, chataso, his sin, asher chata ba, that he sinned in it. It has to become known to him what his sin was. Actually, vadal chaba mechata. So you see that according to Belezer, it's enough to have a general knowledge. You don't have to have a particular knowledge. Whereas here, we're saying that according to Rebbe Elazar in the Karban Olav Yored, he needs to have very particular knowledge. Just to know he became Tamei through Sheretz or through Nevela.
But Rabbi, how could he reliably know that he's Tamei if he doesn't have the specific knowledge of how he became Tamei in the first place? How could he have the knowledge that he's Tamei unless he knows how?
Why? Maybe somebody said to him, hey, but don't go there. You go there, you're going to become Tamei. He went there, he knows he was becoming Tamei, but he doesn't remember what it was. He never noticed what it is that's making him Tamei. It's a piece of flesh, he doesn't know what the flesh is.
Rabbi, why they didn't make a mikveh by the entrance of Beit HaMikdash?
They had. Okay. We saw
the requirement, go to mikveh and go.
They did.
This is clean. We had it. This, right?
We saw it, Paul. Remember, we saw the mikveh. They had mikveh.
Okay, so why they discussing about this thing if there was a requirement was to go mikveh before you go there?
And what happens? What happens if somebody didn't do it, or it happens after the mikvah?
Requirement: go in the mikvah, then go.
They did. They
no mikvah, no go.
They had those requirements. But sometimes people went anyway.
Yeah.
Umeshani Sul answered the contradiction. Hasam in regards to the normal chatas. There's a pasuk. Ohoda elav chataso asher chata vehevi amrachman. Pasuk says, or it'll be informed to him of the, or he becomes not aware of his sin that he sinned. So Hashem said, Asher Chata, meaning Chet Kolshu, any sin. That's to include even when it's just general. Aval Hacha, but over here, Michti Ksiv, let's take a look. It says, Nefesh Asher Tika B'chol Davar Tameh, a soul that'll touch anything which is impure. Then it goes on and says, O B'nei V'lash Sheretz Tameh, or it'll touch the dead rodent. So Lamali, why mention specifically a sheretz, a nevela? Shmaminas, it must be it's teaching me. He already said if he touched something impure. Bin adiyada, in regards to the sliding scale carbon, his knowledge has to be not just that he is tame, he has to know he besheretz itmi, benevela itmi. So again, you see that in Ula is saying the same shot in Rebbe Elazar. When Rebbe Elazar says Sheretz v'ne'elam, it means that he knows it with details. He knows with precision what it is that made him impure. And he forgot about that. Not that he knew generally that he was impure, and he forgot, like Rabbi Akiva. So now the Gemara talks about the view of Rabbi Akiva. Now Rabbi Akiva, we're saying, holds that you darshan from v'ne'elam imenu v'hutamei, that it's enough that he knows generally that he's tamei. He doesn't have to know that he never had to know the particulars of how he was tamei. What about this pasuk? So Rabbi Akiva will tell you. I did the voile mechtav behema v'chaya. The pasuk is really not needed for sheretz and nevela, since the pasuk had to write the words behema and chaya l'kedir Rebbe, to teach you the lesson of Rebbe, who says that you learn from the words Behema and Chaya that there is an obligation of the sliding scale korban for a person who eats sacred items when he is impure. So kasav nami sheretz. That's why it also mentioned sheretz. Rabbi Shmuel taught us called parsha shenemar v'nishneis. And many times you have sections in the Torah that are said once and then repeated. Lo nishneis elo b'shvil davar sheneschadish ba. They're repeated for the sake of a new idea. And once that new idea is there, there are lots of things that are just repeated without teaching us anything. So that's what's going on here. Since it says in the beginning of the pasuk, B'chol davar tameh, we just need to say, B'nivlas sheretz. But since it said, B'nivlas behema tmeya, to teach me that there's an obligation of the sliding scale karban in regards to someone who eats a karban while he's impure. So they threw in all the things too. It says the word nivla sheretz. It says the word nevela. But it's not to teach me that you have to know in particular what it is you became tummy with. It's enough to know generally that you're tummy and then to forget it, to be obligated in the sliding scale carbon. Rebbe Lezer, who holds that when it comes to a carbon chatas, you don't need to know exactly what it is. Because of the word asher chata, he includes that even if you don't know what your sin is, but you know that you need a chatas, you know it must have been one of it. Either it was Chilul Shabbos, or Chilul Yom Kippur, or Be'ilas Nida, or eating Chelev, just doesn't remember what, or eating Notar, he doesn't remember what. One of these things. So Rabbi Lezer says you have to bring a chatas. We saw Rabbi Yeshua said not. Rabbi Yeshua said, asher chata ba, you have to know what it is that you sinned with. So Rebbe Lezer, hi ba my avidle. What is he going to learn from the words asher chata ba, that he sinned in it? So my answers, prat lemis asek. That's to tell you that if someone was busy doing an act that was permitted, and in the act that's permitted, he ends up doing an act that's prohibited, he's not even trying to do the act that's prohibited, he's exempt from a karban. So for example, let's say on Shabbos, there are 39 melachot. There are 39 actions, work actions, that were needed to construct the Mishkan. And on Shabbos, we're not allowed to do them. So one of them is kotzer. To build the Mishkan, they had to harvest plants. And then they would make the plants into dyes. And with the dyes, they would color the threads of the tapestries and the garments of the Kohanim. Okay, Kohen Gadol. So cutting down a plant, a living plant, is a malacha on Shabbos. That's called kotzer. So if a person doesn't know that, he forgets that in the Mishkan they had to cut down plants, he forgets that the day is Shabbos, and he goes out into the field with his knife, and he starts cutting down the wheat, that's the classical case of when he has to bring a karban chatas. Let's say he goes out into the field, and there are pieces of wheat that are already cut down. They're already cut. They're no longer growing. He decides to cut the kernels off from the stalks of hay. The hay is already off of the ground. So that's not a malacha. It's not a malacha. There's no prohibition in that. It's a permissible act. He's trying to do a permissible act. While he's cutting the wheat that's already cut, he also ends up cutting some of the wheat that's attached to the ground. So that's called misasik. That's not even obligated in a karban. Because mitasek, he was busy with a permissible act, and he thought he's doing a permissible act. He ends up also doing a prohibited act. There's no obligation. Asher chata ba. When is there an obligation? If you sin in it, you have to know about it. Prat lemisasek, to exclude a situation where he doesn't know that he's doing a prohibited act. That's not even a shogeg. That doesn't have to bring a karban chatas. However, this whole discussion is chizki on ula. Again, what are we talking about? In the Mishnah, we have three opinions. We have Rabbi Eliezer, we have Rabbi Akiva, and we have Rabbi Yoshua. When I read the Mishnah the first time, I said that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are saying the same thing. They're both saying that there's no obligation of the sliding scale karban for forgetting that it is the temple. There's only an obligation for forgetting that you are impure. But not if you forget that the building you're walking into is the temple. But now that we got to the Gemara says, no, Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Akiva are not saying the same thing. They're actually arguing about something else. Rebbe Lezer holds you have to forget about some particular knowledge. You have to know what made you impure. And Rebbe Akiva says you just forget that you were impure. You don't have to know what made you impure. However, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says there is no argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Mashmos Darshin Yikubeinai. Just the question is, which words in the pasuk teach the same lesson? But it's really one lesson. They're both saying the same thing, that forgetting impurity creates an obligation of the sin offering that rises and descends. If he forgot impurity, then he walked into the temple. And forgetting that it is a temple, or forgetting that it is consecrated meat, does not create the obligation. Amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes also said, Mashmos Darshin, Ikubinayu, the difference between them is just, how do you see it in the pasuk? Rav Sheshes Machlif, Rav Elazar Rabbi Akiva, and how do you know that? Because Rav Sheshes would sometimes say it over the other way. He would say it, and he would teach it over, he would say, it was Rabbi Akiva who said it, from V'sheretz V'ne'elam, L'Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Elazar, and he would say Rabbi Elazar was the one who said, that it's from V'ne'elam V'hutame. But basically, if you're not being careful who's saying what, it's because you don't think there's really a difference between them. They're both saying the same thing, and it's just which words teach you that basic lesson. Okay. So now, according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, according to certainly everybody, they both feel that if the person forgets that this building is the temple, or he forgets that this piece of meat is sacred meat, and he knows that he's impure, and he eats it, he would not be obligated in the carbon olav yored. When is he obligated in the carbon olav yored? He knew he was impure, he forgot he was impure, and he walked into the temple. He knew he was impure, he forgot he was impure, and he ate sacred meat. But if he forgets that the meat is sacred, if he forgets that the temple is a temple, he wouldn't be obligated. That they both agreed to. So now, boy, mine, Rav Amir Rav Nachman. So Rav asked the question of Rav Nachman about the following case. What happens if Halam, according to Elazar and Akiva, Halam Zev Zebiyadomahu? He forgets that he's impure, and he forgets that the building is the temple. He forgets that he's impure, and he forgets that the meat that he's eating is consecrated meat. He forgot both. So he said to him, Rav Nachman's initial thought was, but he forgot that he was impure, and he walked into the temple while forgetting he was impure. It's true, he also didn't know at the time that it was a temple, but he forgot that he was impure, so he should have to bring the carbon olav yored. So then he said back, but maybe not. Adarabba, Rava said, I think the opposite. He forgot about the temple, upater, and then he should be exempt because he forgets about the temple. If he forgot about the temple, he shouldn't be obligated. So I see here that in the footnote, they quote the Torah Chaim who explained what's the doubt here. That is the obligation of the carbon because he forgot he was impure and he walked into the temple? So if that's what it is, here he forgot that he was impure and he walked into the temple. Or is it that he has to bring a carbon because he forgot he was impure? Had he known he was impure, he wouldn't have done this sin. If that's what it is, in this situation, even had he known he was impure, he still would have done it because he also forgot that it was a temple. So then that you can't say that he did the sin for forgetting that he's impure because he forgot that it's a temple. Had he known that he's impure, he still would have ended up going into the temple. So it's the forgetting is not the obligation.
Hey, is it a problem doing?
Good morning, Josh. We're going to have a little bit of a celebration for the Fogers, a Hanachas Tefillin. So we'll actually daven upstairs for the 8:30 minyan. Yeah, what's that?
Is there a problem with doing bringing a chatas if you're not obligated?
What's that?
Is it a problem bringing a sin offering if you didn't?
Yes, it's a big problem. It's a big problem, yeah, because that would be chulin ba'azara.
So he has to bring one sin offering or two rabbi now? He makes two mistakes.
No, it may be maybe nothing or maybe one. So the Gemara says, again, so this is Rava's question. So, by meaning Rav Amir of Nachman, Rava asked the question of Rav Nachman, according to Belezer and Rabbi Akiva, Halam Zevizebiyado Mahu. What's the law if he forgets both? He forgets both that it is the temple and that he's impure. Amalei, he said to him, Ari Halam Tumabiyado. He forgot that he is impure, so he should have to bring a carbon, v'chayiv. So then Rava said back, Adrabah, the opposite. He forgot that it is a temple. He wasn't going to stop, even if he knows that he's impure. Upati should be exempt. So Ravashi tries to resolve it. I'm Ravashi. Ravashi said, Chazina, we take a look. If when we told him you're impure, that's what made him stop, and he walked out of the temple, then the main thing that he was forgetting was his impurity. He'd have to bring a carbon. If we told him, hey, it's the temple, he says, oh my gosh, it's the temple, I forgot. And I'm tummy. Then, the main thing was the temple, and therefore he's exempt because forgetting about the temple is not going to obligate in the carbon. That's Rav Ashi, sort of like a compromise. Amalei Ravina Rav Ashi, so Ravina said to Rav Ashi, it doesn't make sense. Klum pirish b'mikdash el mishum tuma. The fact that you told him it's the temple, and then he walks out. The fact that it's the temple is not why he's walking out. He's walking out because he realizes two things, that he's in the temple and that he's impure in the temple. If you say, well, he walked out when we told him he's impure. Yeah, but what's making him walk out? He realizes that he's impure and that he's in the temple, and that an impure person's not supposed to be in the temple. So, Eloloshna, so must be, there's no difference between these two cases. And therefore, according to Rav Ashi, according to the Gemara's conclusion is that since it was forgetting of the temple, according to Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva, there would be no obligation of a carbon olav yored. Okay.
I think we feel sorry for him because he forgot two things. It's more like having Rachmana done it because it must be a dummy of something.
Okay. I mean, I don't know that
it's a double forgetfulness.
I'm not so sure we're being so nice to a guy if we don't let him bring a carbon. He wants to bring the carbon. He did a sin.
But it's easier not to bring the carbon.
Okay, maybe. Maybe. Easy.
What
easy
easier?
The question is,
he doesn't have to spend the money.
But spend the money and be absorbed, no?
What's that, Avi? Some people what?
We bring a carbon to atone for a transgression.
Right.
Too much. And if a person doesn't even know he's in the base and victim.
Right.
For the purpose, okay?
Right.
Then punishing him wouldn't help. It wouldn't help at all. He's a miscreant.
No, afterwards he knows. When he comes out, he knows. Otherwise, if he doesn't know, there's nothing for him to do. Eventually, he finds out of what he did. He has to find out.
Blindfolded.
Okay.
He has to be informed.
But you forget next time.
Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. Shnei Shvilin, talking about again. If a person knows he's impure, then he forgets he's impure, and he walks into the temple, and when he comes out of the temple, he becomes aware that he was impure while in the temple. So that's the classical case of he has to bring a carbon olav yored. What about a suffik? Shnei Shvilin, let's say there are two paths. Echad Tamei, one has a dead body buried on it. Echad Tamei, Tar, the other one is pure. So one's impure, one is pure. And you don't know which one's which. Ach Berishon. He walks on one path. He's Safik. V'lo Nichnas. He didn't walk into the temple yet. Then Basheni. He walks on the second path. So now certainly he's Tamei, because one of them has a dead body buried on it. V'nichnas. And then he walks into the temple. Okay. So now Chayiv. And he comes out. Apparently he'd forgotten when he walked into the temple. He comes out. Comes aware, has to bring a carbon olav yored. Halach Parishon, let's say he goes down the first path, v'lo nechnas, and he didn't walk into the temple. I'm sorry, Halach Parishon, he went down the first path, v'nechnas, he forgot, he walked into the temple. Then he became pure. He put on the ashes of Paraduma. Then Rishana, Vitava. Okay, so he put on the ashes twice. And he went to the mikvah, became pure. V'yachach halach basheni. Then he goes down the second path. And he forgets that he's impure. And v'nichnas. Again, he goes into the temple. So each time he went into the temple. So certainly chayiv. He's obligated in a carbon. Because at one point, either the first time or the second time, he was impure. So he has to bring a carbon olav yored. However, Rabbi Shimon poter, Rabbi Shimon exempts. Because apparently Rabbi Shimon holds that the first time he didn't know he was impure, he was a Suffolk. He knew that he was a Suffolk. Then he went into the temple. Then he became pure. Then the second time he knew he was a Suffolk. So that, and then he forgot. And then he went into the temple. So that doesn't obligate according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda poter bekulam. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda exempts even in the first case. Mishum Rabbi Shimon, in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Because he says, even in the first case, apparently it's not it's not enough precision. He knows that there are two paths. One has a grave, one doesn't. He walked on both paths, but he doesn't know how he became tummy. He knows he's tummy, he doesn't know how. And then he walks into he walks into the temple, and he comes out. According to this version of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, he would be still exempt from the carbon oloviyore.
Rabbi, is it a problem going through the Taraduma purification process if you're not impure?
No, it's not such a problem. Okay. I mean, you become impure for a day, but it's not such a big deal. So now, the Gemara says, Bekulan, this last view, that Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Shimon, that the man does not have to bring the sliding scale carbon. Now, if you become ice, even in the first case, remember, there are two paths here. One path has a grave on it. The other path doesn't have a grave. Right? One has an unmarked grave, the other one doesn't. He knows his impurity on one of the paths. He walked on one path. Then he walked on the other path. Then he knew he was impure. Mamad of Shafi was impure. And he forgets, and he walks into the temple. Mamad of Shachtamehu, he's certainly impure from one place to the next. So why would he not have to bring a carbon olive yorit? Amar Rava, Rava answered, here what we're talking about is like this. Kigon shalach berishon, he walked on the first path, and then he walks on the second path. However, b'shach shalach b'sheni, shachach shalach berishon. When he's walking on the second path, he forgot that he had walked on the first path. So when he's walking on the second path, he thinks I'm a suffik tummy, because he doesn't know I'm a certainly tummy. After the first path, he thought he was a suffik tummy. Exactly. He walked on the first path. What was his thinking at the end of it? I'm a suffik tummy. Maybe I'm impure. Then he forgets that whole event. Then he walks on the second path. Again, he thinks, I'm a suffik tummy. Then he forgets he's a suffik tummy, and he walks into the temple. The havile miktsas yediya. So this type of a situation, before he even went into the temple, he didn't have a full knowledge that he was impure. He only had a partial knowledge of maybe being impure. He wasn't really sure that he was impure. So he wasn't sure that he was impure. He knew that he was a suffik tummy. So that's the argument. Tanakama Sava, the first view of Rabbi Shimon holds. He is certainly impure. So his knowledge is partial, but he was certainly impure. I mean, a mixus yediyah kachol yediyah. His partial knowledge of a certain situation is like a full knowledge. And it's called Yediyah Batchila. He has a knowledge of before, and he'd have to bring a carbon olive yorit. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda holds, Savar lo amina mixus Yediyah kachol yediyah. He doesn't know fully that he's impure. And for the carbon olive yorit, he has to know he's impure, forget it, and then know again. Here he didn't know. He knew he was a suffik. So therefore, he's not obligated. So again, according to the Tanakhama, you would be obligated, because he knows partially of a full status of Tuma. According to the Chachamim, certainly he'd be obligated in this case. They hold even just a Safik Tuma would create an obligation. And according to Reb Shimon Yehuda, he would be exempt. Okay, then the Brayso talks about another case. Halach Barishon, he walked down one path. He's a Safik Tuma, he knows about it. Then he forgets it. V'nichnas, he walks into the temple. He comes out of the temple. He purified himself. He put on the ashes of Parah Aduma. V'shan, he did it a second time. V'tavol, he went to the mikvah. V'chazav halach basheni. Then again, he walked down the second path. Okay, again. V'nichnas, again he goes into the temple. So, chayiv. So now he has to bring a carbon olive yored, because either the first time or the second time, he was an impure person in the temple. However, Rabbi Shimon poter, Rabbi Shimon exempts. Asks the Gemara, "Amai chayev, why is he obligated?" Safik Yediyahu. He never knew that he was impure. He just knew that he was a Safik, maybe impure. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Khan, in regards to Yediyah Satoma, knowing, then forgetting, and then knowing again, the knowing of before, just knowing a little bit is also enough. Asu Safik Yediyah Ki Yediyah. Just knowing that he's a Safik Tamei is already bad enough to be like somebody who knows for sure that he's Tamei, and he's obligated in the carbon. Rish Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish said another explanation. Hamani, who's the view of this first Tana? Rabbi Shmali, it's the view of Rabbi Shmuel. To Amar, lo ba'inan yediyah batchila, who holds it for the obligation of carbon olav yored, you don't really need to know beforehand. So even a Safik is enough to be obligated. Safik tuma is already enough to be obligated. Okay. So now the Gemara asks a contradiction. The Rami, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. We should ask a contradiction from Rabbi Yochanan against Rabbi Yochanan. There's something called an Asham Tali. Let's say a person does an act by mistake, and he has a Safek whether his act was a prohibited act or a permissible act. Let's say he eats a piece of fat. He doesn't know if it's Shuman, permissible fat, or Chalev, or prohibited fat. So he has to bring an Asham Tali. So we should ask a contradiction between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish against Rish Lakish. Tatanya Lentina Braisa, Achal Safek Chalev. Let's say a person eats a piece of fat. It's maybe Chalev, maybe it's Shuman. Then Vinoda, then he gets informed, hey, what you ate was a Safek. So you were not allowed to eat it. You have to be machmir on a do'oraisa, safik do'oraisa l'chumri. You're supposed to be strict. And you ate it. So you have to bring a carbon asham talu. And before you could actually bring the carbon, then another thing happens. He again eats safik chelev. He eats something which maybe was a forbidden fat. V'nodalo. And then again he was informed that what you just ate was safik chelev. So Rabbi Omer Rebbe says, Kashem, Shemevi Chatas Okolacha V'Echad, the same way in regards to a Chatas. If you were to eat what is certainly forbidden fats, each act of eating would require another Chatas obligation. Tach Mevi Asham, Talu Yokolacha V'Echad. So too, each possible sin creates a new Asham Talu obligation. However, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon Amru, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon say, Rabbi Shimon, name of Rabbi Shimon, Eino Mevi, Ela Asham Talui, Echad. He only has to bring a single Asham Talui. Shenamah, because it says in regards to the Asham Talui, Al Shagugasa, Asher Shagag, it'll be an atonement for his mistake that he made. HaTorah Ribsa, Shkagos, Harbe. The Torah is including many mistakes. Asham Tali Echad, and only a single Asham Tali. Vam Rish Lakish, and Rish Lakish said, Kan Shana Rebbe, Yedios Fekos Meschalkos Lechatos, that knowing about a doubt between each sin can create separate obligations. The nature of what Rebbe is saying is like this, that if he would know that for certain that each of those pieces was Chelev, so then he'd be chayev to karbanos chatas, because he knew. So too, even though he doesn't know what the pieces are, the fact that he knows I ate a safek, and then again he knows he ate a safek, requires two ashamos. And Rabbi Yochanan said, Kishem shiyedios vaday ba'almon mischalkos lachatos, the same way that if he would know for sure that he did an iser, that would create a separate chatas, knowing that the PC8 was a Safik Chelev, divides the two acts of eating. So you see, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are saying that he's Chayiv to Ashamos, because after the first act, he knew that he had eaten something which is a Safik. But they argue apparently about a Karban Chatas. Is knowledge, which is, you know, a suffix knowledge between a chatas, enough to create two obligations of chatas? Now here, we have Rabbi Yochanan saying that a yediyah suffix is knowledge, and Rish Lakish didn't agree. But here we see that they do agree. The Rish Lakish says yediyah suffix, knowing about a suffix isser, is also knowing about an isser. And Rabbi Yochanan here is saying it's not. So Bishma de Rabbi Yochanan lo kasha, and Rabbi Yochanan, it's not a contradiction. Kan, in regards to defiling the temple. Asu, maybe they made it strict, and they said even a partial knowledge is like a full knowledge. But in regards to regular chatos, they didn't do that. But here, in regards to a carbon olaviyored, where we have yediyah safek, the Torah doesn't say you have to know. The Torah says v'nealam, and he'll forget, implying that he knew. V'nealam udakasi. So therefore, even a partial knowledge, a safek, is also enough to be considered knowledge. But v'lo b'chala Torah kula. But in other places in the Torah, in a regular chatas, not. The Ksev there, it says, oh, hodzei elav chatas v'asher chata. It'll be informed to him. So there, it has to be a diyam al yisabin. It has to be a good knowledge. El Reish Lakish. But according to Reish Lakish, we have a problem. Adamukim la kirb Yishmael. Maybe he's going to say, right, he said the case of the two paths was like Reish Lakish, was like Reish Yishmael. It doesn't require knowledge before. Why doesn't he just say it's like Rebbe that a partial knowledge is also partial knowledge, also knowledge? Answers the Gemara. Hakamash Malan. Reish Lakish wanted to teach you the following. He could have said it's Rebbe, but he wants to tell you that Rebbe Shmuel holds you don't need to know anything about it before in terms of going into the temple to have to bring a carbon olaviyored. So the Gemara says, Pshitut lo bayi. Of course, he wouldn't require any knowledge before. Midlo miyatri le krai, because there are no extra psukim. Because he says v'ne'alam twice is needed for forgetting about the temple and forgetting that a person is tamei. So the Gemara answer, v'ne'alam demachayv al helam mikdash. Because he needs v'ne'alam that you're also obligated for forgetting that it is a temple. So Ma'al D'Tem would have thought, Ma'al D'Tem ki lesle mikroi, maybe he doesn't have psukim. Avu mikamara isle, but maybe he has a tradition that says he has to know before. So Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush, that there is no such tradition. And according to Bishmael, he doesn't need to know before. Hajan Allah, Chazit Hashem Yisbarach, Perek Yidiyo Satzuma, Hajro Chalam. Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha, Omer Ratzaka,